colonies in New York, and this would eventually lead Hamilton to take up residence in the state. Hamilton lost his parents, but that did not cease his desire to be great. Hamilton had a goal, liberation for St. Croix, and that was never easy when you were not born into aristocracy. Alexander Hamilton had to earn everything he would achieve. Hamilton's work allotted him to many extensive understandings of trade and countries working together, which eventually led to his establishment of the U.S. Coast Guard and Customs Service. By the time Hamilton had grown, the slave population of St. Croix had doubled in just a decade. The idea of insurrection plagued the plantation owners so much that they set up guard to keep slaves from fleeing to Puerto Rico, a Spanish colony. This unsettling climate made St. Croix a brutal place to live. An insurgent slave would be castrated and then hung or beheaded to serve as a warning to other like-minded slaves. One cannot fully understand Hamilton's later politics without understanding the raw cruelty that he witnessed as a boy, and that later deprived him of hopefulness so contagious in the American milieu. Best quote, "Ambitioned orphan boys do not enjoy the option of idleness. Punishments were designed to be hellish so as to terrorize the rest of the captive population into submission. If a slave lifted a hand in resistance, it would promptly be chopped off." The twin specters of despotism and anarchy were to haunt him for the rest of his life. Chapter Summary 3, The Collegian. Summary highlights and best quotes. A middle-class man from the British West Indies would have lots of social hurdles to maneuver in order to gain any semblance of success. Hamilton was able to do this with ease. He was a gregarious individual that enlisted his smarts and good looks to help him gain ground in his newfound world of New York. He attended Elizabethtown Academy in New Jersey. His schooling here placed him in the path of a lifelong acquaintance, Aaron Burr. Hamilton had a knack to impress those of high class, and as he grew into his new surroundings, high-class leaders found him and took him in. One such man to take Hamilton under his wing was William Livingston. The Livingston household was full of future leaders in the new America. Livingston's oldest daughter, Sarah, was betrothed to a young lawyer and future Supreme Court Justice, John Jay. But Hamilton had his eye on another daughter, Kitty. In the end, Kitty married William Duer, the most notorious friend in Hamilton's life. Hamilton also befriended Elias Boudinot, future president of the Continental Congress. He would regularly visit the Boudinot mansion, and there became acquainted with a large world of books, political debate, and high culture. Both Boudinot and Livingston sat on Princeton's Board of Trustees. Yet another sign that the middle-class Hamilton was learning how to connect to the upper and high classes of the northern colonies. Hamilton had a desire to go through Princeton with as much rapidity as possible. However, the new president of Princeton found that his age, 17, a major hindrance to acceptance. Most at this time were entering college at 14 or 15, and this proved that Hamilton wasn't from a high-class consortium. While he was fighting his way out of the islands, aristocrats were entering college. He had two choices: lie about his age, or attend another school. He chose to attend King's College. Best quote, "I want to enter the college and advance with as much rapidity as possible." Chapter Summary 4, The Pen and the Sword. Summary highlights and best sizzle steak quotes. As 1775 rolled around, revolution was in the air. Hamilton joined the uniformed companies of militia that were now springing up around the colonies. The same persistent attitude he espoused with his studies, he took to the military field as well. During this time, a mob of revolutionists began to attack King's College and its president. Hamilton hears of this uprising and tries to explain to the crowd that this was not the correct way to go about it. The president didn't realize Hamilton was trying to help him, and he began to incite the crowd, telling them not to believe a word Hamilton said. Hamilton held the crowd off long enough for the disgraced president to escape. The two never saw each other again, and the president was heard in despair when he learned that America had won the war.